By the service this far, the songs that we sing, the inspiration that we can have, that the God that we serve is a security in our life. How would you face life if you didn't have God to turn to? Can you imagine how fearful life would be if you woke up during the night and you heard gunshots and you were scared? Who would you turn to? I just recently had a brother tell me that. He said, I woke up, it was 2:15, and he said somebody was out there shooting. And it was dark, and it was scary, and it was nobody in this area. But praise the Lord, we have someone we can call out to. And I want to look at Christian prayer life. Call it Christian prayer life, call it prayer life. It's something I've been wanting to preach on. It's something I've never preached on. Prayer life is something that every one of us need to have a part of our life. It's a very simple thing that we pray all the time. Brother Jason just got done praying. He prayed specifically for Brother Edwin. Edwin's halfway around the world. Isn't that just tremendous that with a simple prayer of faith that God can reach over there and touch Brother Edwin right now? He prayed that God would bless him where he is. Do you believe that? Of course you do. But that's just so inspiring to me that because of the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can simply pray and God will move. And so I want to look at prayer this morning. I began to study this and my mind has went several different directions since I started studying. It's a huge subject. I'd like to start with this verse in James. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's so many familiar verses. These verses are all just your good old favorites. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man, just like we. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You think there's power in prayer this morning? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The power of prayer. And I'm just excited this morning that we can have that power available to our life. And I want you to be excited. I also need to admit that I need to be praying more often. I feel a need for that. I see a lack of it in my own life. And so when I'm preaching to myself this morning, that I want to be more fervent in my prayer life. I believe that my prayer life is an indication of my spiritual life. And so when you think back yesterday, how many times did you pray? 2 days ago, 3 days ago. What was your prayer life like? If you were hooked up to a heart monitor, that heart monitor records your heart's beating. And it often puts it on a graph. You know, we can see that line wiggling. If your prayer life was hooked up to a monitor and there was a printout for us all to see, or on my prayer life, what would it show? Maybe one big spike, flat line, or lots and lots of prayers? It's a serious question that we need to stop and we need to look at our own life and evaluate it. If I'm hooked up to that heart monitor, it shows my physical health. But if I'm hooked up to my prayer monitor, it's going to show my spiritual health. How many times did I pray this past week just because I'm in the habit of praying? It just becomes such a ritual. We sit down for a meal and we bow our heads. Maybe you don't experience that. Do we ever pray just because it's a habit or just because it's a ritual of what we do? And this morning, I just want us to be challenged that our prayers are real. Daniel in our Bible. Daniel chose rather to spend the night in the lion's den than to go through the day without prayer. Is prayer that important to you? Just like Daniel, that we would go into a lion's den than to go throughout the day without prayer. I'd like just to look at some verses on prayer. And I'm going to just simply read these verses. I want you to listen, because then we're going to look at some verses later that you can turn to. But Just verses, as I was reading through the scripture, verses. How many times there's verses that simply say you're supposed to pray always? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Just a verse that prayer for each other gives us the power to be who we ought to be, power to be able to speak boldly for Christ. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's all one sentence. That's why I read continuing instant in prayer. Of course, 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse after verse that just talks about just being in the attitude of prayer as we go throughout life, just being ready to pray at a moment's notice. Colossians, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance and speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Continuing in prayer. How is it with your life? You know how easy it is to tell somebody, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'll keep you in prayer. Send somebody a text message and something bad happened and say, I'll pray for you. Do you follow through with it and pray? I think our social media makes it so easy just to text out praying for you, brother. And I've been challenged already. How many times do I take it to heart and put it on my prayer list and actually pray? Have I prayed more than just one time? There was a friend of ours, and some of yours too, they had a little girl that had some burns, and it came around on our family chat line. Pray for this girl. Well, sure, we need to pray for her. I can't imagine what it'd be like to have a girl with burns. That'd be horrible. The pain that little girl was going to go through. So, of course, we would pray. And so right then, I just said, Lord, just be with her. But was it serious enough about it that I would keep on praying? See, what about the next time we prayed? I done forgot about her. Challenges for me. Maybe I hope you're better than that. I hope you have a better system. But I'm just challenged that the needs that's around us, that we see them and that we continue to pray. Instant, continuing in prayer. Just a few facts from prayer. That in our Bible, there are more than 650 prayers listed. I didn't have time to look them all up. I did print us a whole 10 pages of references out that are actual references in our Bible, 650 of them. If I read each verse, and it each took a minute to read the verse, we'd be here for 10 hours, going through our Bible, just simply reading. And I suddenly realized this subject is so huge. How can I even talk about prayer this morning and make it practical? In our Bible, there are 450 recorded answers to prayer. Our Bible records Jesus praying 25 times during his earthly ministry. The Apostle Paul mentioned 41 times in his teaching about being in prayer, or prayer reports, prayer requests, exhorting to pray. Our Bible talks different positions of prayer. It talks about sitting prayer. It talks about standing, it talks about kneeling, and it talks about falling on one's face to the ground, and also talks about lifting up your hands in prayer. Different positions that we can pray. I don't think there's no wrong way to pray. But there's more scriptures that talk about kneeling in prayer than any other. We have prayer of faith. We have prayer of request, or we call it supplication. We have prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of worship, prayers of consecration, prayers of intercession, prayers of dedication, and the list goes on and on. All kinds of prayers listed in our scriptures. It takes a lot of time to pray. And I don't know how you find it, but we need to prepare ourselves to be able to pray. Now, it's one thing just to simply say, Lord, be with brother so-and-so, be with sister so-and-so. They need your prayer today. They need help. Bless their life. But it's another thing to actually sit down and pour out our heart to God. It takes time. We find time to talk to each other. We find time to pour out our woes to our brothers and our sisters. Do we find that amount of time to pour out our woes to God? Our God says, I want you to come. I want you to pour out your woes to me. I want you to talk to me. Do we have enough of time to pour out our heart and share our feelings with our Heavenly Father? Do we give God that much time? He can do so much more than anybody else. But it's just so easy to tell everybody else about my problems, but forget to tell God. When we pray, we tend to get stuck in the same old rut. I do. I tend to say the same thing over and over. I tend to pray maybe for the same people or the same prayer requests. Of course, it's the things that's the most important to me, and of course, that's what comes to my mind. That's what I pray for. But I came up, well, I found this. I'd just like to share it with you. Of five things to help us remember in our prayers. Our prayer shouldn't be just always geared towards saying, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need this. Let's just call it facts. So the first one, it's an acrostic. The first one is faith. And we need faith to be able to pray. Can you imagine bowing down on your knees and praying, but you don't know if God's even there? Do you have faith this morning? And I know you do. But what is faith? To children, what is faith? You know, faith is trust in our Heavenly Father. If Brother Edwin's here, I like to watch the little children come up to him and hold out their hands. That's faith. Because they know in his pocket there's candy. And they know if they wait long enough, they will get some. And they will come up repeatedly Sunday after Sunday, and he will hand out his Smarties. That's just a simple act of faith. But then in childlike faith, we come to God and we say, God, I have a problem. God, I need you. And in faith, God says, here you are, son, daughter. I want you to come. I want you to come and hold out your hands. If the little children don't come, Edwin's not going to go after them. He's not going to just go sticking candy in their pockets. God wants us to come in faith. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith comes from reading God's word. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I was already in the faith chapter of the men of faith as they reached out to God and as they claimed his promises, how that their prayers were answered in a dramatic way. But if we're going to have an active prayer life, we have to pray in faith. Praying that God will answer. Knowing that God will answer. Pray in faith. Second one is A. Probably right too small for you to read it. But that's adoration. adoration for what our Heavenly Father is. So we come in faith. When we begin to pray, we come in faith. And then we begin to praise God for who He is. Adoration. Expressing our love for God. Turn with me to Psalm 95. The Psalms are just full of praise for who God is. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth, and strength of the hill is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Just, it's such upbuilding, adoration for what God has done. God, you are such a great God. That should be a part of our prayer life, of adoration for our Heavenly Father. Adoration for who he is and what he has done for me and what he has done for mankind. That brings us to the third one, and I have confession. Confession. We already read in James, confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. Different aspects of our prayer. But I believe we should spend a lot of time in adoring our Heavenly Father. But there are times when we need to come and say, Father, my prayer life isn't what it should have been. I'm sorry, Father. I want to draw closer to you. Confess our faults one to another. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins. Confession of when we failed him. Confession in our commitment. God wants us to come to him and pour out our hearts and be real. He knows who we are anyhow. And then, of course, the T is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. All every year. We don't have to wait till the Thanksgiving season. Just thankful for what God has done for me, for my family, for our church family, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Just taking time to stop and to think about what all God has done. And of course, we could go to Psalm 100. It talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving. Again, Psalms are full. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. And then the S, facts, is supplication. Supplication is just bringing our needs to God. And I put that on the end because, well, it fits. It makes the facts. But I think there are supplications. Maybe I tend to put that on top. And I start praying. I'm saying, Lord, you really know I got a problem here today, and I want you to do something about it for me. And God does want us to bring his problems. But we need to pray in faith first. We need to pray in adoration of who our Heavenly Father is. We need to pray of confession, making sure that my life is open before him. A prayer of thanksgiving, and then supplication for the needs in my life, for the needs in your life. Praying for the needs, and I'll probably preach it another time. But my mind went to where God says to his disciples, what do you want me to do for you? He said to blind Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? And I think God is saying that to each one of us. What can I do for you? And we have to answer that question. And that's a sermon I felt like this came first. And so this is kind of like a prelude sermon to some other sermons I want to preach on prayer. But supplication. I thought of the verse in 1 John 5. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." God wants us to. He wants us to bring our needs to him. And it's another entire sermon of our needs versus our wants. God knows the difference. And he will allow us what we need. He will take care of our needs for us. I'm going to give you an opportunity to share a verse that you would have. Maybe there's a verse on prayer that is just your favorite verse. I should have gave you a warning, but I am going to open it up for you. That if there's a favorite verse that you would just like to stand and read it or just like to share it. I have two jotted down here. 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And it goes on, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose." Out of 640 verses, surely there's a verse that is special to you about prayer. Is there any verse that you would just like to share this morning? That would be on prayer. I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Maybe I read all your favorites. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's not a man of this, an ungodly man. Ungodly man that doesn't love the Lord can pray all he wants to, but it's the righteous man. Thank you for sharing that. Is there any more?
1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, hold lift in their holy hands, and the devils," and then goes on to say that the women are supposed to, in like manner, be modest in their dress. But just the fact that us men should be praying everywhere, not just one place, not just at home, but everywhere. And I think it brings out that we're supposed to be praying with other people too. And women are supposed to look at us as praying men, and in like manner be modest.
Thank you. Praying everywhere. Thank you. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. You can almost turn to any chapter, any book of the Bible, and find verses on prayer. Is there any more? Thank you. God can do so much more than what we even pray for. I got you thinking now. And that's what I want you to do, because the more I thought, the more I read, the more verses just kept popping into your mind. It's like, well, where do I go with it from here? And so I thought of the verse that just simply says, "Lord, teach me how to pray." The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach me how to pray." And I'd like to spend the rest of the time on that. D.L. Moody said this, "We are not told that Jesus ever taught his disciples how to preach, but he taught them how to pray. He wanted them to have power with God, then he knew they would have power with men." And I believe the power that we have with God needs to happen first. And then we can preach. Then we can share the gospel. We can tell other people about him, but we have to learn how to pray first. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. It was in Luke where the disciples came to him and they said, "Show me how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray." And he had the Lord's Prayer. We tend to think that a prayer needs to be fancy, a prayer needs to be long, a prayer needs to have eloquent words. And when you look at this Lord's Prayer, it is a simple prayer. It's a prayer, I was actually going to time it this morning and I forgot. You could probably pray it in less than 2 minutes. It's a very short prayer. But it's a loaded prayer. It's a prayer that God says, this is how you need to pray. I'd like to start reading at verse 6. This is not the Lord's Prayer, but it Matthew 6, verse 6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." I'd just like to stop there before we get into the Lord's Prayer. Of the difference that God is calling us to versus the hypocrite of the world. How the publican and the Pharisee, the one stood there and he said, "Lord, I thank you I'm not like all these other men out here. I thank you that I have a heritage." And he went on and prayed this glorious prayer. And it said he prayed thus with himself. "He shall be for their much speaking." He was praying because he was concerned what other people thought. He was concerned about his self-image. And he wanted to pray a prayer that I guess he wanted to be judged by. And we say, that's him. But you know, as men, maybe we do care what people think of our prayers. Let's be more concerned what God thinks of our prayers. To pray our prayer from the heart is what God is asking. Not to be seen of men. He talks about praying not vain repetitions. Just simply coming and just praying our heart. Praying the needs that's on my heart. Just praying to God because he is our Father. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father." And I'm just going to go through there and take these phrases, "our Father." Who is this Father to you? Do you know him? Is he your Father this morning? When's the last time you talked to him? This morning? Yesterday? Last night? When's the last time you talked to your Heavenly Father? Where is God and where are you in this picture? Has this Father done anything for you? Our Father, my Father. It's a very personal phrase. Is he your Father? I have a little story. A little boy in New York walked into a large bank. He walked right past the policeman, the teller, the vice president, and went right up to the president of the bank and spoke to him while others stood outside looking at a sign, "No admittance." The boy could speak to the president because the president was his Father. See, because our Father, our Heavenly Father, classifies us as a son, because he is our Father, that gives us the right to go right into his presence. He wants us to. It's the relationship that we have. There's been many a times I've been out in my office studying. And one of my little girls will come in and stand there beside my desk. And I'll say, "Do you want something?" "Well, no. They just want to be with me. They just want to be in the presence of the Father." And isn't that how, as heavenly, our Heavenly Father, we just want to come and be in his presence. Our Father. Take advantage of it. It's a privilege that God wants to have with us. He wants us to come just like a child. Our Father which art in heaven. And of course we know that's where God resides, in heaven. God is so great, he lives in heaven, but yet he wants to live in my heart. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." God lives in heaven, but yet he wants to come down into my heart and have that relationship with me. Sir Isaac Newton said, "I can take my telescope and look millions of miles into space, but I can go away to my room and in prayer get nearer to God in heaven than I can assisted by all the telescopes of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Just simply by getting down on my knees and saying, "My Father, hallowed be thy name." It's that deep reverence for the name of my Lord. Deep reverence. The reverence, the worship. Hallowed would give the idea of being sacred, of holy. And it's that person that someday we're going to stand and we're going to give account of. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Do I desire God's kingdom to come? Am I ready for it? Am I ready for the Lord to come back? Or am I saying, just wait a little bit, I have my own kingdom to prepare. Just give me another 20 years, maybe 5 years. Would it be okay if Jesus came today? When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're saying, I'm living my life in such a way that I'm ready for you to come back. What kind of a prayer life does that take? What kind of life of prayer? Are we alive and ready? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Imagine praying that prayer. We do pray that. Thy will be done. And we always say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Thy will be done. I want to have your will. But what about when a cross is when I don't like it? And then we say, wait a minute, Lord, that wasn't in the bargain. That wasn't in the deal. Thy will be done in my family, in my business, with my friends. Thy will be done here in Calvary Congregation. Thy will be done where I work. Thy will be done in the purchases that I make. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We live on this earth. But we're praying a prayer like that. We're asking God to have thy perfect will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want my life and your will synchronized together. Done according to God's desires, not mine. When we get to heaven, it's going to be as God. It's going to be according to his will. It's not, I don't have no will in this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then we come to the very practical point. Give us this day our daily bread. Is there anything that we have this morning that God didn't give us? It was said, I think Brother Edmund said, that here in America we can just buy whatever we need. And I've thought a lot about that. We hardly even have to pray this, give us this day our daily bread, because we just go out and buy it. If we need some food, we just go buy it. But this goes deeper than that. It's the air that we breathe. It's my total existence, the health that God has blessed me with. Give us this day the strength to go about my work. Give me the strength, my existence, the food, the water, protection, good health. Give us this day our daily bread. The air we breathe is a gift. And when we pray this, we're just simply thanking God for giving us everything that we need to sustain life. The protection. When I begin to lose sight of what God has done for me, then my prayer life suffers. I begin to think I can take care of myself. And then all of a sudden I can sustain myself and I don't need to pray this prayer anymore. But God forbid, we need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And remember that we need God. We need him to handle life. It's not just an empty tradition. It's just not bow your head real quick and say a blessing on a meal. But it's in true gratitude of thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Do I believe that I need Jesus this morning? If you're a Bible-believing saint, and you are, and you're trusting the Lord, how many times have you prayed today and yesterday? What is your prayer life? I keep asking you that, but it's a pattern of your life. It's a pattern of my life that says of how much God really means to me. A prayer for God to bless my day. Specifically, we pray that, Lord, as the children go to school, would you keep them safe? Lord, as we travel the highways, would you watch over us and give us traveling mercies? Lord, as I go about my work, and we pray specifically. So many times we just say, Lord, bless her day, and we go on with it. Pray specifically and wait for God to to answer. We never know what life will throw at us. And in a time of traumatic emergency, we don't have time to pray. I was just struck anew with that thought. That Sunday night, we had services here Sunday night, and it began to snow. And you all went home, and we attempted to too. And I didn't get very far down the road, and I don't know what I did, but I slightly got off the road. And the road was snowing. I didn't realize it. When I came back on, my van began to do funny things. And next thing I know, I was going sideways, and I went straight across the road in front of someone. And we missed them just by inches. I was expecting to feel a bump. I mean, it was so close. I didn't even have time to pray. I didn't have to do nothing but hang on the steering wheel, because here we go. Give us this day our daily bread. The protection that God gives his saints. We need to be prayed up. We need to be ready for whatever God would bring to us. And after it's all over, it's like, wow, that was close. Was it close, or was it the protection that God provided to our family? And I thank him for that. Forgive us our debts. We're talking about the debts that we have with each other. The times when I offend you, the times when I say things that might have been hurtful when I didn't realize it. And I believe when we pray, it's a time when I need to begin to evaluate, how is my relationship with my brothers? How is my relationship with this church? Can God bless me? This is a prayer of Jesus. And he says that if we cannot forgive others, our prayers are of no benefit. And so it calls us to stop and to consider my actions and my speech. It's a call to consider my attitudes, my relationship with each other. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Just 1 John is so full, there's practical verses. But the attitudes that I have, God will judge me. And it'll affect my prayer life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is such a practical verse. Lead us not into temptation. Brothers, we need to pray that every morning. Father, don't take me into a situation where I am tempted today. Deliver me from that. And God has promised that he never will take us into a temptation, that we cannot, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Lead us not into temptation. If we pray that prayer, God will hear it. And it'll make a difference in my life. But too many times, maybe I enjoy that temptation. Maybe I enjoy just clicking and finding out where I can go. You know, on the internet, they call it clickbait, where you click here, then you click here, and you click here, and it just keeps baiting you on. And all of a sudden, you say, how did I end up here? No playing around with temptations. We need to pray every morning, lead us not into temptation, but deliver me. Deliver me from the temptations that's around. For thine is the kingdom. God, it's all yours. This is such a simple prayer, but it's a loaded prayer. Each phrase just covers an amazing amount of things. For thine is the kingdom. It's all about God. That's the reason we're living here in this world. It's all about what God wants. The focus is not me. The focus is not the excellent person I am. The focus is not on how well I manage my life. The focus is on, it's God, it's yours. Thine is the kingdom. The focus is on God. So I trust this morning, as we go throughout tomorrow, the rest of the afternoon, that we are a praying people. May our prayer life be larger. Spend more time in prayer this week. Spend time praying, thanking God, number one, for everything that he has done, adoring him for who he is, and then to praying for the needs in your life, the needs in others' lives. and praying that God will give us victory to face life and to grow strong together. I'd like to kneel for prayer and say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us kneel.